We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Maritime's called disrespectful and insulting the way the trade went down.
When they re-signed me, I was thinking that I was good. 2 weeks later, I was gone. So it's like, why did you waste my time?
I feel like I was always truthful with them, but things changed, and therefore what I said was not the same as what it was.
This is the same Patriots team when I was with the Patriots that traded Loy Malloy the week of week one.
Sorry to put you through it.
It was just Michael Bennett.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on any player's personal situation.
It's nice when you have a coach that sees you as a human being, not just a number, and you have an issue and you're able to go talk to him and tell him about what's going on. You're able to go take care of it.
Yeah, right now we're focused on the Jets.
Right now.
I'll shoot your ass in the bleeping head.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
So is it as bad as you thought it was going to be coming in here?
It's beautiful in here.
Beautiful?
All I can say is...
If you like the desert...
All I can say to you guys right now is that it's hot as hell in here. Have you ever seen a fat man take a shirt off?
And I don't want to see it.
I just saw it. It was actually...
sweaty. It's nasty.
I can't get that vision
thank you.
Out of my head.
It's going to happen by 4 o'clock.
When do you
start
pitting out?
Over-under is at 4 o'clock.
When do you start pitting out?
About 3.
Oh, that's when Ben's coming.
Yeah.
So and the cough... The cough button. Do you call it the cough back? I call it the cough back. So if I start coughing or sneezing and you hear it coming through your radio, it's because the button doesn't work.
Actually, what I'm worried about is when you push that button to say, drop an F-bomb to Ryan.
Yeah.
And you know it's not going over the air. Today it will go over the air.
No, I'm guilty of that on a good day.
Sorry. Are you okay? You all right?
Who is that? Who is that? You all right? You okay? You're fine? I don't even want to get hurt.
Here's the worst part about it. It's so bad in here. It might not just be the shirts coming off. It may be pants. This may be a pants off day.
You
already did it.
I know.
I saw you earlier today.
But see,
you can walk around here and get away with it. You know,
no, I cannot.
Exactly. You're still in really good shape.
There's women walking. No, there's women. Yeah. There's still people. Kudos to the people in sales that came into work today with no lights, no power, and are grinding it out. They don't care. Did you see the video I sent out?
Hold on. What about the other people? I got a great parking spot. Half of the people aren't here.
It's great. No, I said kudos to the people that actually came into work today and those who used an excuse to go home and kind of just chill. I sent out a video. Tweeted out a video of what it actually looks like when you walk into the building.
Dark.
And I had listened to all the shows, so I knew it was going to be bad. I had no idea. I mean, it's pitch dark. It looks like you're going to a haunted house. You know, you go into the haunted house and everything is pitch dark. You feel like someone's going to jump out and try to startle you. That's the way it is in this building.
So I walked in here and I was fumbling with my phone because I had to put the flashlight on my phone so I could actually see to get in here, and I couldn't get it to go. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, in total pitch darkness now, I'm sitting there going, I'm going to go around this corner, and there's no question that Fourier is going to jump my ass.
I wish I knew when you were coming in.
I just knew it. And I knew if anybody came around that corner, and I was anticipating, you know when you get scared because you just are startled and you don't expect something? I was expecting it. I'm sitting there cautiously trying to get to my flashlight working, saying, Fourier's going to jump my ass.
See, that's when it comes to being scared in haunted houses, it's not like you're afraid of the lame ass, you know, people in the mask.
Stupid.
The anticipation of being startled, not being scared, being startled. So nobody's really afraid of the ghouls and the goblins that they in all the little, you know, acts that they try and put out there. It's the anticipation.
Talk about that and being pissed off or whatever. We very rarely get this, and we keep on saying this over and over and over again. How is it that players leave the New England Patriots and they never say anything bad? I mean, if Belichick is that difficult, that tough, nobody ever says anything bad. We got somebody saying some bad stuff now. Demaryius Thomas, here we go. Talking about getting let go by the New England Patriots, traded by the New England Patriots. It was insulting for sure. Once I got cut on August 31st, I could have just come here to the Jets and not stayed there and re-sign. When they re-signed me, I was thinking that I was good. 2 weeks later, I was gone. So it's like, why did I waste my time? Because at the end of the day, it was kind of a waste of time for me. And then he talked about they took a chance to bring me in, help me get healthy, and he's taking some shots, and I don't blame him. He's pissed off. He wanted to be here. This is a winning team. He's with the Jets right now. They're not going to win an awful lot of games. But weren't you a little bit surprised today that instead of Belichick, he's not on our team. We only talk about the players on our team. It is what it is. Nope. Nope. What Belichick did is he responded and he answered to it.
Mary Sainz called it disrespectful and insulting the way the trade went down this September. Do you have any regrets about how that whole situation played out?
Yeah, look, Demaris is a great kid. I have a ton of respect for him. He's very professional and did everything we asked him to do. Our circumstances changed a couple times in that period leading up to when he was traded. And so I feel like I was always truthful with him, but things changed, and therefore what I said was not the same as what it was, what I'd said previously. So yeah, it is what it is.
That's an extensive answer. You know why?
He feels bad. No,
he understands. He understands that Demaryius Thomas.
You think that he feels bad?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I have a totally different take on this.
Okay, what's your take?
My take is that he feels like his integrity was put into question, because this was an issue about a player questioning Bill's honesty and directness, which Bill is famous for. Hey, you know what? We don't have a roster spot. I'm not going to get into all these details, but I'm not going to try and screw you over. I'm not going to try and, like, you know, he's a friend of the player, whether people believe that or not. He doesn't want anybody's, you know, life to be messed with. He doesn't want to mess with their livelihood unless you're Michael Bennett. But I feel like he wanted to answer this question in detail for him based on the fact that it's almost like Demaryius Thomas called him a liar. Hey, you know, I walked in there and they told me to stick around. They cut me. I thought I was going to be on the team. And then he cut me. What a waste of time. So that's Demaryius Thomas. Bill hears this. He's like, all right, well, maybe he only knows one way with Josh, since Josh McDaniels drafted him. And maybe Josh handled things differently, but he's a Patriot here. He's only been here 5 months. So he feels like, no, I have to address this. Okay, here's what happened. I was truthful with him at the time. We had a roster spot. They cut him. They said, hang out, which he's done for other players. Stick around. They brought him back. Sure enough, Antonio Brown became available. He's a better player. Sorry, we don't need you anymore. So he never lied to him.
No, he never lied.
I would say, and my coach used to tell me this all the time, so no matter what was happening in our locker room and our position meeting, if moves were being made and one guy was playing more than the other, he's like, all right, you guys got it? Because those were our new marching orders. All right, here's the way business is being done right now. But before we left the room, he would always say, now remember, everything is subject to change. Now, hand to God. This is what he said every time there was some sort of major movement or issue, because he knew he had been with Bill for so long, and some of us hadn't, that, listen, I know you're thinking one way, but just in case, everything is subject to change. And I remember, like, this was yesterday, and Ben Watson was part of this. I remember, like, being pissed. Like, they had Dan Graham, they had Ben Watson. I was like, Ben didn't earn this job. Like, I should be playing. Why am I losing my job? Sure enough, Ben blew his knee out. I remember being pissed that I wasn't playing. Sure enough, I was like, now I'm playing again. So it happened in a second. It happened as quickly as you can imagine. Now, different scenario, but don't you think that's Bill? And you know Bill, if he wants to answer something because he's pissed off about it, he's gonna make sure he sets the record straight. That's what I thought he was doing.
No, I think you're right in that he wanted to set the record straight. But I also think he feels a little bit bad because he seemed to like him. The first thing he says, you know, he liked him. Nice kid, or whatever.
Yeah, nice kid. Yeah, nice kid. Is he being disingenuous?
No,
he called him a kid.
I think
he's a grown man. He's like 30-something years old.
But Bill's a lot older than that. I think he looks at it that way. It's a generational thing. And so anybody younger than you.
I think there's a jab there. That's where the jab comes from.
It's a generational thing. You don't get the generational thing.
Oh,
you call anybody.
Thank you.
Call anybody a kid who's younger than you when you get to Bill's age, my age. So but I think he looked at it and said, Jesus, nice kid. He's all pissed off. All we were trying to do is we wanted to have Demaryius Thomas, and then Antonio Brown came in the next day. So I'll give you the next step in all of this. Couldn't the New England Patriots use Demaryius Thomas right now? So on Monday night, they're going into New Jersey, into the Meadowlands, and they're going to play without Demaryius Thomas. They have their own problems health-wise with their receivers, and Demaryius Thomas is going to be playing for the other team. So based on everything that's happened since then with Antonio Brown out, Demaryius Thomas is the one guy you could look at that could actually help the Patriots. We were talking about this yesterday. Who do you get? Do you go get Amendola? Is that a big enough step? Or do you have to get Sanders? Do you have to go get somebody big? Sanu. How about Demaryius Thomas? If they had held on to Demaryius Thomas, would we feel better about this offense right now?
I feel better about this because I knew I was right. When I was looking at that receiving core, when I said, okay, let's think about who they have. Demaryius Thomas, Philip Dorsett, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, James White, Rex Burkhead. Wow, they got a lot of weapons. Demaryius Thomas has been hurt. No. He's trending in the right direction. He looks good. I thought just based on those skill position players, they were going to be fine. Was it all top notch? No, but they were all competent and capable. They were going to have a good receiving core. But the only reason why he's gone is because Antonio Brown was available. Now Antonio Brown is gone. Now they're left without Demaryius Thomas. Another shrapnel effect from the whole Antonio Brown saga.
And we forget
that.
Demaryius Thomas
is collateral damage
yep.
because of Antonio Brown.
Yep. And we forget that. And I was reminded of it when I saw Demaryius Thomas's comments today. I'm sitting there going, okay, so you lost Antonio Brown. You're stuck with the money because that money, that $5 million right now, is at a holding place. So you don't have the money to go out and get a top-notch receiver to bring him to bring that guy in. And, oh, yeah, now Demaryius Thomas, who was shrapnel, you're right, he was another fallout from the Antonio Brown thing, is playing against you on Monday night.
He's playing well, too.
And he's playing well because he's healthy now.
Yeah, he had a little hamstring in the beginning.
There's the answer.
Fine.
He could have helped you out.
Oh, totally. I would say, and I feel confident about this, if you have Demaryius Thomas, you're not going out there looking for anybody else. You would still have N'Keal Harry would still be coming back. Jacoby Meyer would still be a fifth guy on your list.
But Tommy's
They're
got
not
the veteran.
Great.
But Tommy's got the veteran in Thomas. If
I
you,
know.
If you had the young kids, you could bring the young kids along, right? Because Tommy has got that seasoned veteran that he wants. And instead now, he's playing for the other team, and he's probably going to be pretty pumped up, I would think, for that game on Monday night. Wouldn't you think that Demaryius Thomas, based on what I read in the paper today in New York, in the New York Post, that he's going to probably be pretty pumped up?
And he also does have a relationship with Adam Gase also. So there's a lot of synergy there between Demaryius Thomas and the Jets and the Patriots. Now, we'll see how it transforms when they actually play against each other, but based on his comments, I'd be wanting some payback.
All right, we start with Demaryius Thomas. You've probably seen his comments by now. You've heard Belichick react to it, and Bill was willing to talk about it, obviously, because I think he wanted to talk about it because he wanted to set the record straight. I think you're right about that, Krishna. But I also think there's a soft spot here in which Bill's looking at it saying, oh, my God, he was another fallout to the old Antonio Brown thing. So did this team screw up with Demaryius Thomas? Or how did they get around it? Could they have kept him and cut somebody else on the roster to create a roster spot for Antonio Brown? Could they have done that based on their knowledge of maybe these guys are not going to stay healthy and this is a position we really need right now in the offense? 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. No loot today. But Ben Volen will join us at 4 o'clock. God, there are a lot of people that can't stand Volen. Does anybody notice that?
Right here.
Greg Bedard, one of them, apparently.
Well, what?
Oh, we got some feud going on.
That would be a great little fight.
We got a good media feud going, I think, and we're going to get to it.
The people of Boston need me.
Hey, become a census taker looking for a great-paying part-time job with flexible hours. I may be. Then check out the 2020 census. Apply today at 2020census.gov/jobs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
What it really says about the Patriots to me, is something that they've always said. And it's like, you know, what's the best way? The Patriot way, because the record speaks for itself. The Belichick way, completely unsentimental. He's looking at what he has, the resources he has on the team, and how he can best deploy them week to week. And if you're Demaryius Thomas and Antonio Brown becomes available, guess what? That's the way it goes. And Belichick's got too many other details to worry about personally telling them. Edelman said recently, he's only talked to Bill Belichick a couple of times. Like, that's the way he runs it, completely unsentimentally, and it says something about the Patriots' way.
Max Kellerman, and it works for Belichick, and that's why he does it. I mean,
can I read something for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, because Kellerman made me think of another player, and there's been tons of them, Glenn. Tons of older players that have run through here and had a similar situation or an understanding, with Bill. Everything's subject to change now, but okay. Today, this is the situation we're dealing with. When he read this,
unsentimental.
He said, once I got cut on August 31st, I could have just come here to the Jets and not stayed there and re-signed. When they re-signed me, I was thinking that I was good. 2 weeks later, I was gone. So it's like, why did I waste my time? Because at the end of the day, it was kind of a waste of time for me. And then he goes on, I always knew I was going to be able to still play. We had thought that also. And it would have worked out because I was still learning their offense. Josh McDaniels drafted me. So I felt like I was cool. But even having conversations with him and a couple other people, it was like, you're going to be okay. 2 weeks later, AB gets cut. And they kicked him out. Chad Brown, specifically Chad Brown, older player, comes here. They sign him. He plays. It's not very good.
Right.
He's playing middle linebacker. Yeah. That's not his position anymore. And he's kind of older. So it didn't work out. But he grinded through it. The next year, they kind of wanted him but didn't want him. They needed him and they didn't need him. So they asked him to stick around. Chad lived in my neighborhood. I'd see him all the time. They'd call you. Yeah, he'd go back. He'd leave. This happens to older players. So I don't think that Demaryius Thomas is actually bitching and complaining like he's holding a grudge. I think this is one of those situations where the older player hasn't realized what his new reality is.
Yeah, maybe.
He's got a one-year deal with the Jets.
Yeah.
I think that's going to go. You think he's going to bounce from team to team to team to team? That's what happens when you're older.
Right.
And especially if you're hurt. The Texans cut you for a reason. You had an Achilles tear. The Patriots did you a solid. The Patriots allowed you to prove to everybody else that you could still play. You didn't do anything during camp. And the last preseason game, you went off. So, I mean, everybody wins, right?
So it makes sense, though, and he can't be pissed off at the fact that Antonio Brown, I'm sorry, Demaryius, a better receiver, may not be as good a character guy, but a better receiver than you, comes on the scene, and you're the fall guy. You're the guy that has to leave.
Everybody needs a fall guy.
Everybody's got to have one. And you're the guy that takes the hit. It's understandable why Belichick did it. The conditions changed, so he didn't lie to you. He told you the truth at the time. At the time, you were on the roster. A week later, 2 weeks later, everything changed with Antonio Brown. And then, obviously, now, Belichick's got to live with that because Antonio Brown is gone, though his money is still tied up, and Demaryius Thomas right now could be on his team and could be helping his team Monday night against the Jets.
Thomas.
They need him.
So
it's a mistake in the long run for Belichick. It is.
So when you think about how they construct their and how they build their roster, Olszewski is the designated punt return guy. If Demaryius Thomas was a special teams guy and could return punts, Olszewski would be on the practice squad.
Yeah, he would be.
But no, he isn't. You know, so he only serves one role. Olszewski serves two purposes.
When you're that deep down in the roster, you know what it's about. You need to play special teams.
And that was a gaping hole that they didn't have. Edelman, they didn't want to put him in that position. They lost, who was it from last year? The speedy guy. I forgot what his name was. But anyways, the fact is that they needed to fill that role. And Olszewski's done it every single time.
Patterson.
Patterson.
Jacob's in a car here on OMF. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I was wondering, my whole thing is, I was figuring when they got Demaryius Thomas, even after they got Antonio Brown, that was what their receiving core was going to be. It was going to be Brown, Gordon, Edelman, and Thomas. You know, those were the four guys, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then they got rid of Demaryius Thomas, and I was always wondering why. Was it cap space, or was it just simply because of the mouths to feed. I just don't understand it. I would have kept him.
It was for
knowing
that. Yeah, it was for that roster
that
spot. It was for the roster spot for Antonio Brown. Okay. But in the end, you don't have Antonio Brown. You've got a questionable Josh Gordon, and they knew that at the time. By the way,
So if they would have just cut Demaryius Thomas at that time, I think the Jets probably would have just picked him up and free agency.
Yeah, they needed a receiver.
So the Patriots, okay, so either way, it worked out for him.
Who was the guy they lost for the entire season?
Yeah, I can't remember. But it worked out for him. He's on a team that wants him, that needs him. He's playing a much bigger role there than he would be here.
Yes.
As far as reps.
Yeah, but I don't care about them. I'm only caring about the Patriots. I'm looking at it from the Patriots' point of view. We sit here and we talk about they got to get that guy. They got to get that. Oh, get the Dola back. Let's bring the Dola back. Quincy Enunwa is the guy that I lost. Thank you. The Jets lost for the season. But if you look at it right now, if they still had Demaryius Thomas on this roster, would we not feel a hell of a lot better going forward with this receiver core?
I would. He would take Josh Gordon's reps. I think he'd end up being number two ahead of Josh Gordon and ahead of Philip Dorsett. And Josh Gordon would fill a role. But what are you going to do, right? You can't unring a bell.
Can't
cry about spilled milk.
Can't unring a bell.
You know, so Bill did what I thought he would do. When I saw these quotes, I'm like, oh, they're challenging. Demaryius Thomas is basically calling him a liar. So you can't do that.
Can't do that.
I heard you. hold on. He actually did it before I did.
Yeah, I did.
Just so everybody knows, we have a talkback button.
We have major problems.
And we have no power.
No power.
So the one thing
we're in the dark, by the way.
Press the talkback button, and you can talk to the studio.
By the way, you know.
It doesn't work, and he was the first one to do it.
By the way, do I look better in the dark? Don't I look better in the dark?
Man, I tell you what. Let me just paint a picture for you because you can't see yourself.
Hold on. We have a candle in here. It's very romantic. Lou does not know what he's missing. This is very romantic.
Your glasses
today.
Are tilted. Yeah. They're not on your face directly.
Oh, hold on.
You're flushed.
Well, I can't see them. So I
that's
can't.
My point.
Where's the
mirror? I said, let me paint a picture for you.
That's bad.
You're totally flushed.
Yeah, that's not
like
good.
You've been out in the Florida heat in August.
I feel that way right now.
And your shirt looks like you're dying to take it off.
I may be taking it off very, very soon.
Great. Hey, got that lotion,
and,
Tyler?
And
Tyler?
No, we're not doing it. No, we're not doing the lotion thing here.
I want to test his loyalty to me.
Not doing it.
I want to test your friendship.
By the way, Mutt
got naked, Ordway.
Mutt got a whole hour the other night out of, and Tyler was on his show. He's like his special guest. I didn't know.
Oh, the special secret guest?
Yeah, special secret guest. And Mutt snuck one by me, and I didn't even know Tyler was the special secret guest that night. They did a whole hour on lathering up another male's back.
He agreed with me. There's nothing wrong with it.
My mom's on it.
No.
I've taken it.
No, I think he was against it. Here's Mark and Methuen. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Real quick. Listen, so I understand what you're saying. It's for a roster spot, but I'm going to say that ain't true, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, am I still on?
Yeah.
Oh, the
we actually really
guy,
don't know.
What's his name? The punt guy there? I don't like that guy.
Gunner.
He could have been a perfect roster spot. I know you're going to say, oh, different position. What about Jacoby Myers? Why is that kid on the team and Demaryius Thomas ain't running through the...
here's the good news.
I have no idea
We may have no power, no lights. It may be about 98 and humid as hell in the studio, but we still have the light.
Here's the thing. I knew exactly where that call was going.
I did too.
I was like, okay, get to it. All right, hot dog, I get it.
Yeah. This is Boston.
He almost gave it away right there. Jacoby Myers, though, to answer his maybe legitimate question that he had, I think they were afraid to put him on the practice squad. They thought somebody was going to pick him up.
Jacoby Myers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. They thought somebody was going to pick him up. They thought, you know.
And what would they do without Olszewski? He was the only guy that was returning punts.
Correct. So they were afraid to put guys on the practice squad because they knew that other teams were hovering, and they were fearful of holding on to them. And the younger players obviously occupy a lot less money, too.
So it's kind of weird because it's a Monday game, so everything gets pushed back a day. So even though it's Thursday, it's really Wednesday. So Bill spoke. I don't know. Will Brady speak today? I'm assuming maybe not.
Friday. He's going to speak on Friday.
But so that was one piece of news.
We're going to get to the Michael Bennett one.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I was teasing it. I was trying to tell the producer, but
you can't do it.
I can't do it.
You can't talk to him. It's all hand signals.
You know what we need? We need a pigeon. And we'll get a little note. We'll give the pigeon a little note and have the pigeon fly into the other booth. So the pigeon will probably bounce off the walls.
You're pigeoning. You're pigeoning now. Like a pigeon? What is pigeoning?
Thank you, Mike. But the pigeon will probably fly off the wall.
So I'm sure he gave us gave us detailed information
about
what happened. What happened? between Brett Bielema and Michael Bennett.
I can't wait to hear it. I heard Bill's reaction, and my first reaction to that was, wow. Bennett is done here. We'll get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian. On Sports Radio WEEI.
Did Michael ask you, Mike, ask you first why we didn't see the first 3 days of camp here?
Oh, I had a personal. I didn't retire. I heard everybody said I retired. I was laughing at home. I'm like, I didn't retire. No, I just had a family issue that I had to go take care of. But I was lucky. Coach Belichick, it's nice when you have a coach that has a human, sees you as a human being. Not just a number, and you have an issue, and you're able to go talk to him and tell him about what's going on. You're able to go take care of it. That just makes you want to play harder for a coach when he believes in you and let you, you know, take care of your family first.
All right, that is Michael Bennett. What was the date of that, Ryan? July 29th. Michael Bennett, it's great to have a coach like that. Understands, you know, what you're like. Human being. Cares for you. The whole works. So, there's only one person to blame for what happened this past week, Michael Bennett. That would be Michael Bennett. Okay? So, today, Bill Belichick was asked about the situation with Michael Bennett.
Bill, just on Michael Bennett, what happened with him that led to a suspension this week?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on any player's personal situation.
You knew that. There's a follow-up.
Bill, what do you see as a role for Michael Bennett going forward for the rest of the season?
Yeah, right now we're focused on the Jets.
Not going to talk about
that's
it.
That's what we're working on.
Even better follow-up, Phil Perry, I believe.
Go ahead, Phil. Bill, when it comes to bringing aboard a veteran player who's had success in a certain system, and then you bring him to your system and maybe he's asked to do some different things, how difficult, in your experience, how difficult can
perfect
that be sometimes
question
for players?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the player that. Varies probably from player to player.
Bennett's done here. Phil Perry omitted the name, Michael Bennett, took it as a generic player, and gave pretty much the set of circumstances that Bill has already talked about here in the last few weeks, talking about different position. You, I thought, really broke it down perfectly yesterday, and I think you were right on with what you were saying about his role and how it's changed and how he believes it's a zero role. And Bill wanted nothing to do with it. I'm telling you, he's done. He's done here.
Yeah.
Dunsky. I'm sorry, Dunsky.
So, see, officially, when you really feel like somebody's done and you can't take a bet, you got to go Dunsky.
Dunsky.
Yeah, because why would it change? So why would his role change? Now, I can say, let's just say he's a good soldier and he's just happy to be here and he loves the environment. He loves the fellowship that comes with being a Patriot and the fact that you're winning and you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. If he was that guy, I would say, listen, leave him alone. If someone may get hurt, you may need him down the line. Who knows what it'll be? He may come in handy. He may make the one play that puts you into the Super Bowl. He may make the one play that helps you win the Super Bowl. I have no idea. The fact that he's available and he's healthy and he's a good player, he just schematically and body type and, you know, his skill set just doesn't – there's not really a home for him yet. So I would say if he's thinking that way, if he's acting that way, then you keep him. You don't even say anything about it. Why you wouldn't cut him? He's helping you win. He's helping the younger players. It doesn't seem like that's the case.
No, as Teddy said yesterday, and I think you believe the same thing, it got bad. A one-week suspension. Go back and look at Bill Belichick's history over the years. He sat out a guy for a series. He made a guy inactive on a Sunday, which means you practice all week. If you're inactive on a Sunday, you still get your paycheck. Nope. With this guy, suspended him for a week. He did something really bad. And that's why Bill doesn't want to talk about it, and he's crossed the line. And as much as Michael Bennett, back on July 29th, sat there and said, isn't it great to have a coach? You can't go and actually attack another coach.
There is a guy that had the locker right next to me. I think his name was Chris Martin. I can't remember. Big defensive tackle. And he used to bitch and complain every damn day about his playing time. sure enough, he kept going in there, and Bill would put the film on, and he would call him out and say, "Here's why you're not playing." He didn't like it, so he started bitching and complaining to the beat reporters, and that got out. And I remember internally, we all walked around with a paper saying, "What the F is this guy? Who the hell does he think he is?" The next day, I come by, his locker is cleared out, and he is gone.
Gone.
Okay, you know who else used to talk about playing time, about how he thought he was more valuable than he really was? Bethel Johnson.
Yeah.
Another guy. Yeah. I can run a 4.3. Yeah, but you can't catch.
Why does he sound like me?
Yeah, he talked like that. I always hear him. It just, there's no room for it.
You know, who's really good at this stuff? Really good at nailing Patriot stuff. But
Steve Martin, not the comedian.
Steve Martin, the football player.
Yes, the football player.
This guy's really good at this stuff with the Patriots. He's also good, and I think, really being rational about stuff that's going on in the game. And that's Eric Mangini, who's now on Fox, right? He's on FS1 now. It was on ESPN or whatever. And he's talking about this whole situation, and he doesn't understand why Bennett is surprised about any of this.
You think you're going to be the one that goes in there and change the way things are done?
Right.
Like, you join the military and you're surprised you got to go fight? Like, you know what you're getting into when you go to New England. Like, what did you expect? You have to play a role. And if you play the role well, you get more playing time. If you don't play the role well, then you get less playing time. It's a meritocracy. Nobody cares what you did in Seattle or Tampa Bay or how they did business. That's not how business is done there. So you go, you take your lumps, you're gone for a week. They pick up $400,000 in the cap or whatever it is for a salary, and you decide whether or not you want to come back and do things the right way, or whether or not you want to keep trying to fight a system that nobody's won against, and you're not going to win against either.
He's so right. He's so right. And I was watching your facial expression because we had the candle on your face. And when you heard that cut, you were nodding your head.
Oh, yes.
Like, oh, I know
it's
that.
So
that,
funny.
That used to be my life. I know that one well. But he's right. He nailed it.
No, he did. And he obviously knows how this organization works so well. But should we blame him for wanting to play? So he doesn't want to get in line. He's young. He's prideful. He wants to play. So I just think he went about it the wrong way. He could have easily went into Bill's office and said, "Listen, this isn't working for me. I would like a release. You guys don't need me." That would be the professional way of doing it. Not acting up and taking it out on your position coach, who realistically, you're yelling at the wrong guy, right? If you're really brave, let's call it that. If you're brave, you go into Bill's office and you challenge him. Go challenge that guy and then explain to him why you can play.
What? I'm sorry.
And this is what other people have done. They get smacked down so fast because all he does, he has this huge big screen TV, right? And he just pulls it up. What do you want to see? Okay, let's go over it. Where do you want me to put me? Is this right? I'm not saying he's a bad player or he's being lazy. It's just schematically, there's no space for you. So if you're a big tough guy like you claim to be, why are you hollering and yelling at Brett Bielema? Go talk to Bill, because you said it in camp when you missed for whatever reason it was.
Love him.
He was obviously compassionate.
Love him.
Bill was towards your situation. And we have no idea. It could be as scandalous as anything. Why the hell do we know? All we know is that he did you a solid and he backed you, and then you complimented him for being the guy that he is. Now, you don't feel so good.
See, I think the difference, though, in a lot of these organizations is that you can screw up. And you don't have to be accountable for your actions. There's a second and there's a third opportunity. And Mangini brought this up. He talked about...
Oh, this is my favorite cut.
He talked about that you're learning that if you screw up with the Patriots, there's discipline and they follow through on it.
Are you surprised that it was a suspension and not an outright release?
No, not at all. It makes sense.
Yes.
Look at his comments after it happened.
He was very conciliatory.
Yeah, sometimes you're surprised when someone actually follows through on a threat that they make. You're surprised that when there's discipline at a place and the punishment that they say they're going to do is handed out. And that's a little bit of a wake-up call. You know, it happens all the time where, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and you never do it. So what do you learn? You learn that you can do whatever you want.
I love that. I love the fact that there's – but he's not – listen, he was on the inside, so he gets it, but I know that.
Yep.
But there's repercussions. And when you join a team, you kind of have an idea right away how serious your leadership is. So, like, I know if I threaten my kids with a spanking or a punishment or whatever, of being grounded. I know I can't just throw an idle threat out there, because the moment I don't, you know, pay that forward or pay it up and force them to be punished, I know I have no credibility. So if I threaten them the next time, they're gonna be like, I'm just gonna keep doing it because I know you're not gonna punish me anyways. So why should I be afraid of your threat? You're not gonna do anything. You're a coward. So I love the fact that there's repercussions. That when guys come into this system, well, Mike Mayock did it with Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
did. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, the most teams, they do the right thing. They try to be compassionate. They try to be, you know, that whole, love it.
Yeah, you can bleep that.
Why? Oh, what did I say?
It's okay.
What did I say?
It went through that button that doesn't work.
I had
work,
the talkback button
doesn't
on.
Work, and that button that
did
doesn't
you dump
work.
Me? There's a lot going on right now.
There
was I was
a lot
feeling it
on.
Right there. Yeah. I was like, getting, I felt like I was a preacher.
But you know what happens? The Belichick does that because he really crossed the line. And who knows? This might not have been the first incident. This might have been the one that finally got them to say enough is enough. But Bill's going to follow through in that because all of the other players, the other 52 players are all watching it.
Oh, that's
and
a
they
great
all,
point.
And they all know, uh-oh, you can't do that here. Because a bunch of these players were playing in college or they were playing in other teams last year or elsewhere. You realize very quickly in this organization, once something like that happens and a player is jettisoned out of here, guess what? Don't screw with Bill. You don't screw with him.
Well, who are you? If you're coaching, now I can hear it. I can hear it over here on these mics. are you a guy that says, okay.
They're all calling you that name now.
Oh, I know. I'm sweating. I'm like pitting out right now.
I'm sticking to the chair.
Are you a guy that says, okay, one set of rules for everybody or different rules for each person pending their circumstances?
Well, let's look at it with the Patriots. You've said this many times before. There are times that Belichick will sit there, go to the film, the video, and he'll point out something that Brady didn't do well in front of everybody else. Okay? Greatest player to ever play the game, right? And yet he does that, and he does it for a purpose. Now, he's lucky in that he's got a guy who can keep his ego in check, understands all of this stuff, seems to have a great feel for it, and gets it. And he's willing to, for all of the times we've had stories where people saying, oh, Brady's got a problem with Belichick. 20 years they have coexisted and it's worked out fine. He's able to embarrass him in front of that entire team. But I think, and Brady's smart enough to realize it, but Belichick looks at it and says, if I can do that to Brady, then what about the 50th guy in the roster? What about the 46th guy in the roster? He's going to toe the line.
I love how Mangini, he's just kind of cracking up at the whole idea that Michael Bennett was going to get some sort of special treatment.
Like,
he's
you
giggling.
Know what you're getting into when you go to New England. Like,
no, his classic line.
The war. I like
yeah,
the war.
Yeah, you sign up, you enlist in the military.
Like you join the military and you're surprised you got to go fight?
Yes.
That's great.
Like, what do you mean? What is this gun? Oh, the gun was to actually shoot? So I thought it was a prop. No, it's perfect.
I thought I'd stay in the bunker. No, the protected
bunker. I don't think, because here's what usually happens. Let's use as an example, who's there? I can't remember anything around pitting out so badly. The guy that got benched last year. Oh, my God, I can't remember his name.
Shelton. Danny Shelton.
Let's use Shelton as an example, right?
Four games, I think. I think it was four games.
It was a lot.
I think it was four games.
So when he didn't have any personality issues. I don't think he was hollering and yelling.
Just wasn't playing well.
And he just wasn't playing well. So they
in practice
him.
Probably wasn't following through. And you're sitting there going, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah. So there's a lot of issues going on with him. He was probably overweight. Maybe he wasn't putting his heart or his head into it. And they recognized it. And they said, you know, you're not playing anymore. You're never going to suit up. It took him a while to get back into the rotation. He had to earn his way back, which is almost the worst case possible because you're so far behind everybody. And oh, by the way, if you're Michael Bennett, Danny Shelton's playing well. Adam Butler's playing well. All these guys are playing well. Lawrence Guy is playing well. Danny Shelton lost a bunch of weight. He's playing well. You're not going to take their spots unless they get hurt. So they've earned the right to make mistakes and keep their job because they built up so much goodwill equity. So much playing goodwill equity that, listen, hey, we know that's not who you are. All right, keep going. So they're not going to throw Michael Bennett in there to teach Danny Shelton a lesson unless he completely just sucks after a while.
So Danny Shelton did not get suspended like Michael Bennett did because Michael Bennett did something that crosses the line of the rules of the team, right? That's what he did. Detrimental to the team. Danny Shelton was not showing during the course of the week, and maybe you're right, maybe he was overweight as well, because he did lose weight, that he was not getting himself ready to play in the game on Sunday. So what they did is they sat him down. Did it work? Did Belichick's method work? Absolutely. I think we can look it up. I think he sat out for four games. He was key in the playoffs.
He was huge.
He was huge in the playoffs.
And more importantly, it was four games. He's huge now.
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
Yes, he's figured it out.
Wait, Danny Shelton was a first-round pick.
Yes.
He's not some undrafted free agent.
Cleveland's first-round pick, right?
Yeah, he's used to getting what he wants.
Yeah.
He's used to winning. He's used to people saying, you got it. Yeah. I love the other clip from Mangini, and it's not anything you don't know. But it's, hey, I don't care what you did, where you came from, how good you think you are, what you did in that system, how they treated you in that program. None of that matters. None of it matters. You legitimately have to earn a role. People think this is crazy talk when they hear about it. But nothing has changed since Bill became the head coach of the New England Patriots, probably the same way with the Cleveland Browns.
So I thought it was really interesting today to see the difference of dealing with the quotes of Demaryius Thomas, who's taken some shots at Bill, taken some shots at the way he was treated by New England on the way out, especially when you look at it now. He's a guy that the New England Patriots could use, and yet he's playing for the Jets. And the difference of that and the way Belichick reacted versus the Michael Bennett, which it's pretty much, you know, he's not even going to get into it, even though Phil Perry laid it up without using his name, talking about a guy having a different role, something that Bill has talked about in the last few weeks, specifically about Bennett, and he wants nothing to do with it. That is not a good sign for Michael Bennett. By the way, Matt Chatham.
What did Matt say?
Being extremely negative.
Today about the New England Patriots.
Demaryius Thomas trade was a New England mistake.
Whoa. What?
And I can finish it off with a little story about my dude.
Demaryius Thomas trade was a New England mistake. Okay. To see it. Mistakes occasionally happens here. It's New England. Just exponentially less than in other places. Oh, that's kind of giving him a little kiss. Pretty obvious what he does for an O. And it isn't a... He's got a clown face there.
Now, so he's basically saying Demaryius Thomas isn't a clown. He's an AB.
Yes.
Just say that.
Multiple deep overs. Screen production versus Dallas. Looked and he's got the thumbs up. Can't win them all. So he's admitting, and you look back at it, there's no question. This is a mistake right now. He is a guy you could actually use, right?
Yes.
So what is this story out of NBC Sports Chicago?
So the Patriots tried to bring in a guy, and he turned them down.
Well, that does happen, by the way. I mean, people.
A practice squad guy turned down a 53-man roster spot with the Patriots.
Well, maybe he's got an offer to go somewhere
maybe
else.
Maybe he heard the news about Demaryius Thomas. Maybe he thought Bill was lying.
He wants to
I
the
don't
Bears.
Trust you. I don't trust you at all.
All right, 617-779-7937. Coming up next, LeBron. There's too much in LeBron's past right now. Too many things that he has said that just make him sound like a bigger hypocrite. And we've got somebody who's on ESPN that may sound even dumber than what we've heard from LeBron James. We got all of that coming up next for you this hour, brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.